I have a news flash for you this morning. A 62-year-old woman named Marion Hargraves has just passed her driving test. That may not seem like such big news to you, but for her, it was life-changing. She had passed the test on her 40th attempt. After so much struggle, after such great perseverance, one would think that as soon as she passed the driving test, the first thing she would do would be to go out and buy an automobile. But she was unable. She had spent so much money learning how to drive, she couldn't afford a car. And if you think about it, maybe that's just as well. Because think about it. How comfortable would you be having a car coming towards you in the twilight of the evening with a woman behind the wheel who failed the driving portion of the test almost 40 times? And yet, even with that said, we admire people who refuse to give up, who refuse to cut their losses, who understand what it means to hang in there. And maybe, just maybe, that's the message from God that you and I need to hear this day. Even though I graduated from this place many, many moons ago, I really have no idea what's going on in your life. I don't know what your frustrations or your failures or your fears are, but I imagine that if you have them, they're weighing you down. And that's why this portion of Scripture is so important for all of us to hear today. Because God's message is simple. He's simply saying to each and every one of us, wherever we may be in our station of life, to hang in there and to trust Him. This morning in our text that Dr. Burson just read moments ago, Jesus tells us a story that's not really familiar to a whole lot of people. It's a story about an unjust judge. A judge whom Jesus said had no fear of God and cared even less about what other people thought about him. All he cared about was making a name for himself and lining his own pockets. But Jesus also tells us that there was a woman who needed this judge's help. She was poor, she had no money, she was a widow, a woman living alone in a man's world. She had no man, she had no money, she had no one to plead her case. And yet she needed him. In fact, she cried out to him. Why? Because she was being persecuted and used and abused, and she was tired of it. And because she was tired of it, the Bible tells us that she kept coming to that unjust judge over and over and over again with the cry for mercy and for help. At first, the judge responded with silence. Nothing she said moved him, but she wouldn't give up. She kept coming and coming, pleading and pleading. She would take no for an answer. And finally, he relented. And notice what happens in our lesson. This unjust judge who did not fear God, who did not care about what other people thought about him, finally gave in to the widow and her pleading and her coming and answered her request. Why? She simply would not give up. And because that is true, the judge says this in our text, and I'd like to share it with you this morning. He said, "Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see she gets justice. So she will quit coming." Without a doubt, the widow was persistent. She refused to let that judge off the hook. It's a wonderful story. It's one of those quirky little parables Jesus loved to tell. But in the end, he gets real serious and he says these words, "And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him night and day? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly." My friends, I have to tell you that when Jesus first spoke these words to disciples, I truly believe that he also had another group of people in mind, those who were suffering intense persecution for their faith in him. But I also believe that these words that lay before us this morning in the Gospel of St. Luke are also written for us who so often struggle with our faith. For those of us who sometimes give up on ourselves and even our Savior God. Years ago, an old man approached the famous 19th century prophet, poet, and artist, Dante Gabriel Rossetti. Rossetti was working in his shop one day when an elderly man came in. And because he respected his opinion so greatly concerning art, the elderly man asked Rossetti if he would look at some of the drawings he had drawn. And Rossetti did. And quickly he discovered that this elderly man had no talent at all. Because Rossetti was a gentleman, he tried to break it honestly and truthfully to the old man concerning the lack of artistic talent that was evident in these drawings. And when he did so, the elderly man was disappointed, but in a way, Rossetti could tell that he almost expected that outcome. The old man then apologized to Rossetti for taking his time, and then he asked if he could show him another set of drawings that were done by a young artist. Rossetti quickly agreed. He looked at those drawings and he was amazed by the skill and the ability and the talent. And he turned to the elderly man and said, "We must encourage this one with such great gifts and abilities. He must become an artist and use the gifts that God has given him." When Rossetti said that, when he spoke those words, he saw that the elderly man was greatly moved to the point that tears were dripping off his face. Rossetti said to the man, "Is this young artist your son?" The old man just shook his head. He said, "No, no, no." He said, "Sadly, that was me 40 years ago. If only I would have heard your words of praise then. For you see, I got discouraged and gave up too soon." To be honest with you, that almost happened to me. to us. After about a month and a half in my first year at the seminary, my wife and I decided after a lot of prayer that this was not the place for us, that God had other plans for us in our lives and for our ministry. And so we began to pack up our little one-room apartment over in Mutinwood, as we called it, and we prepared to leave. The week that we had decided to go in and speak to Dean Vogel about our desire to end our time at the seminary, it was also the week that first-year students at that time received their fieldwork assignment. Christy and I prayed about it. We decided to go. And when we got there, our lives were totally changed. Out of the wisdom and the grace of God, we were assigned to a little church over in Muskuta, Illinois. The parish's name is Zion. And their pastor at that time was the Reverend Glenn Thomas. And very quickly he became our pastor, our friend. And it was through the love and the encouragement of Pastor Thomas, his faithful wife Ann, and those amazing people in that incredible congregation that totally changed our course in life. In fact, I have to tell you very honestly, Christy and I totally believe if it wouldn't have been for them and God's grace at that moment in our life, I wouldn't be a pastor in the Lord's church. And I certainly wouldn't be standing before you here today. And yet, even with that said, how often is it when the way gets rough and the going gets tough that we give in and give up so often on ourselves and even on our God? And we fail to trust that He has the power not only to hear our prayers, but to answer them according to His will and purpose for our lives. And more than that, that He has a plan for us, each and every one of us, not just here in this place, in this time, but also for eternity. So often when I think about that, I wonder to myself, how is that even possible? How is that possible for a poor, miserable sinner like me, like you? You know the answer, because of Jesus and what He did for us at the cross, the very place He suffered and died for your sins and mine, so that we might be able to push on, to lean forward, and to continue to do the work He has called and empowered us to do, being ever mindful that He does indeed work for the good of all those who love Him. And because it is true today, He encourages us to very simply hang on to Him. And yet, as I say those words and ask God to place them in my heart, I know how easy it is here in this place to get tempted to give up and to give in when things don't go the way that we planned. We give up on ourselves, we give up on God, and we fail to trust in Him. And for that, we must repent, fall on our knees before His throne of grace, and in His mercy, ask Him to forgive us. And to do one more thing, to remember. To remember the persistent widow in our story who kept coming and coming and pleading and pleading and crying until the judge gave her justice. To remember Jesus, who endured the suffering and the shame of the cross, so that we might not only be forgiven and free as the children of God, but enabled and empowered by his Spirit to simply encourage one another. And as I stand before you this morning, I pray that's exactly what Christy and I will do for you this coming week, as we are so very blessed to serve in your midst. I pray that when you see us on campus, you'll stop and say hello. I pray that you'll come over and share your story about how God is working miraculously, amazingly in your life. I pray you'll give us the opportunity to share a word and encourage you to hang in there. And with that, we say amen. Thank you for the privilege.